So, hi Anthony. Thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity to interview you. Are you okay if I record this?
Sure.
All right, awesome. Thank you. So, first off, from some quick research, many of the software engineering jobs I found require a few years of experience, preferably in multiple coding languages or a master's degree. To a software engineering or computer science student at my age, which path would you recommend? Going directly into the workforce after 4 years of in after 4 years, or investing in higher education?
I would say both. You would want to pursue a 4-year degree and also work part-time if you can, so that you can identify your strength and if you want to decide and pursue further education in that area of concentration, yeah, then do both. Okay.
Awesome. And internships are often seen as the essential stepping stones to gain practical experience in the field. Were internships a big part of helping you start your career?
I don't know if what I did qualify as internship. I basically worked for a small startup company while I was pursuing my college, my Bachelor of Science degree, and from that, that's where I gained most of the practical real world experience. In school, I learned the theories of database management, data structure, operating system. It's just theory, but then when I had to dive in and do the troubleshooting, that's where the job came in, and it helped tremendously. Yeah.
And how many years did it take you to get to your current position? What were the most critical steps you took along the way that helped you rise up to where you are now?
I'm not quite sure I understand, like,
Right, so how many years did it take you to get to your current position? What were the most critical steps you took along the way that helped you rise?
Okay, so I graduated in 2006, until now it's like was it 13
13
years?
years.
Yeah, so I've been in the IT tech field for 13 years after my computer science degree, and the most critical steps that I took along the way was to taking risk, right? So I was working in the data center that we had a contract with the DoD, and that was a very stable job, right? But after a few years, it became repetitive, and that was boring, right? I wasn't learning anything new, I wasn't being challenged, and so I sought out and look for another opportunities, and I found this startup up here in the Bay Area, and that was in the healthcare industry. And so I took on that opportunity. It was a small startup, but now that company was purchased by a big insurance company from the East Coast. And I'm learning MongoDBs and other new stuff, new technology. So had I been, working for the data center down in Seaside, now I would be just stuck on that job, and I wouldn't be learning anything new.
Oh, I see. So that was pretty much like it was stable but dead end.
Yeah, it's stable, but not a lot of excitement.
I
I
see.
pay the bills, but I need more than that.
I
Yeah,
see. All
yeah.
right. Great. So moving on to your current job or previous jobs, having strong communication skills, both written and oral, are ever-present requirements in job descriptions in our field. From your own experiences, how crucial have these communication skills been on your career path and in your workplace?
Communication, both written and oral, are critical, right? We have some offshore DBAs that
Oh, what's a DBA?
database administrator.
Oh.
So from a technical perspective, they are pretty sharp, right? But from the communication standpoint, there's a lot of misunderstanding between our team over here and the offshore DBA. So there are a lot of back and forth, email correspondence, And then we set up like a remote session called WebEx, and then we talk on the phone, and just a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding, like language barrier mostly. And so if we didn't have those, if we like were, we didn't have that communication barrier, then the project would go on more smoother.
And how has networking helped in your professional success, either when first getting your foot in the door or rising up the corporate ladder?
I'm not sure about rising the corporate ladder. I'm more with techie than a management person. So, sorry, I lost my train of thought. Oh, networking. Networking is crucial because you can't get your foot in the door feasibly or easily unless you know someone that can vouch for you, right? And that person, he or she, will only vouch for you when you know they deem that you are competent, you're capable of pulling your own weight. Like you can talk, but you if you can't walk the walk, it's kind of embarrassing to refer you into the team and only to find out that you can't really execute. And so it's crucial. I have keep in touch with a few of my former classmates, and one of whom is working for Intuit right now, the TurboTax company, and then another one is working for the health insurance company. So she referred me, she told me about the position being opened up. I forwarded her my resume. She submitted to her manager. Her hiring manager called me and set up for the interview. That's how I got the lead. So, and she would only do that for me because she knew that I could do the database job. I was the Oracle database administrator down in CSI. She was the Unix admin, sysadmin. And we kind of worked together in several projects and deployments. And then she knew that I can do the job. She submitted my resume. I got that set up the interview. That's how networking helps you out.
And likewise, do you have any advice on how to effectively network in a professional environment? Like making not just your friends who refer you, but like making new connections with people you haven't met before.
Oh, that's not my strong suit, actually. I'm not much of a people person. I only interact or socialize with people that I know or work on the project with. I don't really go to a different team and department and just shake hands with people.
I've been to like career fairs and I've gone to like some events, but I have trouble like making and maintaining connections.
I have the same obstacle. I face the same obstacle.
Thank you. So about what you've learned in school, some students, including myself, feel that they'll likely never use much of what they're learning in school in real life. How much of what you learned in college was actually applied in a professional environment?
I cannot quantify that, but I do know it helped a lot, tremendously, right? So in school, you only learn the theories of thing, right? But you would never think that, you know, linear algebra or discrete math, how is that going to apply to my field, right? But it does help shape the way you process things, you analyze things, like you investigate, you troubleshoot issue. Like I don't have any issue troubleshooting database errors or, you know, problems. Problem does come with databases. But my coworker, he does have that issue. And I was, talking to him and I found out that he has a chemistry degree, not a computer science degree. And somehow he got landed that job as a database administrator, and I guess he just learned on site, you know. Mm-hmm. He didn't really have that computer science or computer engineering background.
Mm.
So his troubleshooting capabilities limited. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think that's because he lacked that that foundation. Yeah.
So he majored in chemistry, but he's working in the same field as you, and because of that, he's lacking certain skills that you have learned.
The analytics part, yeah. So he just know and memorize commands,
mm-hmm.
right? But then when confronted with issues or error codes that he've never faced before or never had to solve before, then he struggled. He came to me and said, "Hey, how do you do this? You know, what happened next?" Mm-hmm. So he doesn't know how to conceptualize the issues. Like, mm-hmm. What caused it to arrive at that state?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and how to get out of that state?
Wow. Yeah. That's very interesting.
So discrete math, I find that discrete math is very helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you a concrete example, but I just know in the back end that it does that course. At that point when I take discrete math, it's like, what's this, a bunch of truths and false and if and else? What the heck? It didn't make sense to me at that time when I was in school.
Yeah.
But then when you start coding, you know, shell scripting and all that, it start coming back, you know. Like it helps you troubleshoot and all that stuff. It shapes the way I perceive these computer codes and stuff.
Oh, wow. So it affects you on like fundamental way, fundamental way of thinking?
Because I think that's very reason why because my coworker has a brain too.
Yeah.
But his brain process things differently.
Mm.
And that's why he struggle. Because he doesn't have that foundation.
Oh.
It has been in the industry for several decades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think he does like copy and paste. And people can do that quite easily. Once you get the copy down, you can just paste. But then what if you don't have something to copy? Now you have to come up with a new approach. Mm-hmm. That's where these computer science courses come into play.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So for ethics, as a computer scientist, have your projects ever led to an ethical dilemma in which your ethics or your company's ethics were challenged? Some examples may include environmental challenges or cost of materials or effect on the public or any other moral gray areas.
Luckily I didn't have to face any of these environmental challenges or dilemmas, but we had some issues where back in the data center that I work for, down in Seaside, somebody shipped out a DVD
mm-hmm.
with classified data,
mm.
but then that data is encrypted, of course, and it's saved on that DVD, but then the encryption key is also put on the label, the FedEx label. That's sent out together, and it was really an embarrassment for the whole organization. Because that's considered a compromise, a leak, right? And so the director has to, you know, gather everyone and remind them that this is classified data. We need to take care of it more, you know, be more diligent about it.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the organization ended up losing a couple $1 million because we had to compensate the people who were affected by that data exposure. Right, it's all the social security, you know, all the other personal information. Because this is a DoD data.
Yeah.
And so that was the closest I got to these kind of ethical dilemmas.
Mm.
And I don't know if that person tried to hide it, but somehow somebody reported up the chain and we got it fixed. Yeah. So.
And do you have any examples of like basic guidelines that all engineers or computer scientists should follow in order to behave ethically?
Well, you want to treat people's either personal data or, you know, intellectual property, whatever, right? And the source code and the way you want to be treated, basically, right? Do you want your invention to be stolen and used without your, you know, approval? Mm-hmm. Do you want your SSN, your date of birth, to be used without your authorization? You know, so if you don't, then when you handling, like I am right now handling patient data, because I work for an insurance company now, and so we have SSN, the medical records, you know, that's they call that PHI, personal health information or something. Yeah, so exposing those would be a risk to the patient, right? You violate the rights. And so and I am also a member of that insurance company, so my data is also in there. So surely I don't want my data to be in the wrong hand. So I have to protect that data set. Right, so that's we need to take those things seriously. Yeah,
thank you. And you mentioned that there were, you haven't encountered any environmental concerns. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. And my field, in the two company, the companies that I work for, we didn't have to deal with the environmental concern challenges.
Okay, thank you. And it must have been quite a change adjusting from being a student in college to working professionally. Did you feel that college adequately prepared you for working in the industry?
Not really. College itself won't prepare you, or at least in my case, it won't be enough for me to tackle the real world challenges, right? The reason I was able to continue with my career in this field is around my junior or senior year in college, I applied and started working for that startup company. And that's where I realized I can apply what I learned in school. From theories and put it into practice. And when I get joy out of it, that's when I continue on with the course that I am on right now. So I started working for that startup when I was about a junior. So after working for 3 years, that's when I moved to Seaside, California, and apply for that Oracle Database Administrator. So I took database administration. No, it's called Database Management 1, and then there are two courses, right? And then the other one is Database Management System 2. I think that's what they were called. And it was all theory. I could not have been a successful database administrator relying on those courses alone. So on the startup, we use MySQL. And then once I understand, so you need to apply these commands, you need to normalize the tables, you know, you need to take care of user permissions and all that. I realized, this is cool. This is what I learned, but these are the syntax. And then from there, I didn't know anything about Oracle. I applied for that Oracle job anyway. And I told them that I have no experience with Oracle, but I am able and willing to learn the new platform. And so they gave me a chance, you know. During the interview, they asked me about queries, database queries. And of course, I answer them in the queries that I know of, which was MySQL. And then the hiring manager was quite impressed with my answer. So he gave me a chance, and I started out as a junior Oracle database administrator.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was shadowing those more senior folks. They have been in the industry for several decades, right? And in that data center, we had Oracle 8, I think, really primitive and old back then.
Mm-hmm.
And in school, I was already learning 9i at that time. And we had these projects to migrate them into 9 and 10. And so I was involved in that, and I learned a whole lot
mm-hmm.
from working under those senior DBAs
yeah.
and picking up skills along the way. And I stayed there for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then I looked for this job in the Bay Area for the healthcare industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we are using Oracle, Postgres, MySQL, and MongoDB. So 4 different flavors, depend on the product. So some engineers, team, they decided to use Postgres, and that's what they're using, that's what I support.
Yeah.
If they want to use MySQL, then they will code the platform against that database, relational database, and then that's what I support.
Mm.
And then this other project uses MongoDB, which is a big data kind of thing, and that's what I support.
Mm. So your first job at the startup, rather than school, was really what prepared you for working professionally, what got you familiar
right,
with it.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
Just if had I not applied and worked for that company straight out of college with a college degree, I would struggle. Yeah, so I luckily started working early on, and then I kind of say, oh, I can kind of map it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, this is what I learned in school, and this is like similar to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I apply what I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the timeline here, did you work at the start of after graduation or during school?
I was still in school, and I was working part-time. There was the company was flexible enough to let me work part-time.
Yeah.
And then after I graduated, I stayed with them for another year.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I wanted more pay. But I guess they couldn't, or they didn't feel that I deserve more. And
yeah.
So we part ways. And,
okay.
Yeah.
And what was different about this startup than like your next job, for example? 'Cause what made this startup different in that you felt you were like you felt you maybe you were like more prepared for working in this one? Because you said that if you hadn't worked in the startup first and you went into like another job, then you wouldn't have been as prepared. So
right.
What was different about this startup than your next job?
Right. So in school, the database management courses that I took, we use Oracle, student edition, I think, XE or something. So that was all fine and dandy, great. But the startup that I work for, we used MySQL
yeah.
and some SQL Server, I think.
Yeah.
And so, and also because of the manager that I work for, he was understanding enough to encourage me to, you know, try it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no failure.
Yeah.
To him, there's no failure. You try, and if you fail or you messed up, fix it and learn
mm-hmm.
along the way. And so that get me the confidence that I need. So when I apply for the data center job with the Oracle database, I haven't been using database since graduation, right? So of course my database experience is zero to none, and but the confidence I had was plentiful, right? Because
yeah.
I didn't learn my SQL, but I was able to succeed in that company. I was
yeah.
able to pull my own way and administer the database. Oh, before I depart that company, I was working on the replication project with another DBA. So we were using, you know, raw partitions
yeah.
on was it two Arduino replication that I stood up with that other guy, and that was all fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so from a technical standpoint, it's just a different syntax.
Yeah.
Syntactically, you just need to change it around a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but the concept is still the same. It's a relational database, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to answer the interview question with more confidence. Because I already, upfront, I already told them that I don't know.
Yeah.
When I applied, I submitted my resume that I didn't list any Oracle experience other than school. I learned in school. And at the interview, they kind of understood that too.
Mm-hmm.
So they just asked me questions like database queries,
mm-hmm.
not the Oracle specific syntax
mm-hmm.
or, you know, store procedure packages like that.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So again, that second place, they also took a chance on me,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me the chance to prove myself.
Mm. Awesome. And what traits or skills would you say are needed in your field to be proficient or to do well?
I would say curiosity and analytical skills. Right? You need to troubleshoot when there's issue with the database,
mm-hmm.
and you have to expand your knowledge base. Had I confined myself in my SQL at my startup job, then that would be it. I would be forever a MySQL database administrator.
Mm-hmm.
But then I explore Oracle. So I picked up Oracle skill,
yeah.
right? The skill set to become a successful Oracle database administrator.
Uh-huh.
And then when I work for this healthcare company, now I have to pick up MongoDB, which
mm-hmm.
is another new database to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, and then, oh, Postgres is kind of similar to MySQL.
Mm-hmm.
So, be curious, be open-minded, learn as much different languages as you can. So yeah, in school, the programming language that I learned was Java.
Yeah.
But I would advise you, I think you're going into software engineering, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to, confine yourself in a specific language. What programming language are you using right now?
Java,
yeah. There's C# out there.
Mm-hmm.
C++, of course, is pretty robust and useful. C#, I think, is used by Tesla.
Mm.
Yeah, there's some Tesla project that uses C# too. So if you want to work for that company later on, try to learn C# as well.
Mm.
Learn as much as you can. Don't set a limit on your learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just be curious and learn.
Absolutely.
You don't know when you're gonna need it, right?
Yeah.
Just like you learn how to swim, but you don't swim every day. That's okay. Put it aside when you go kayaking or when you go trekking somewhere, you happen to fall out a river, a creek, you can swim.
Yeah.
But like the example I told you a long time ago, yeah, just learn. Riding bicycle too, like you don't ride every day. But what harm is it that you learn, right? There's no harm in learning how to ride a bike and put it aside. Just learn.
Thank you. And finally, what are some of the most important things an aspiring engineer at my age should know or do before entering the workforce? Any last advice you have for me?
Should know or do before entering the workforce? Yeah, be curious. I think don't set a limit to yourself. Yeah. When it comes to this knowledge, and be curious. Oh, and at work too. So there were many occasions where it's not my job to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not on my job description. It's not our department responsibility, right? Like DevOps, we just, report the issues. Capture the errors, whatever, and then report the issue back to engineering and have them fix it.
Yeah.
But if that's all I ever did, then I would not understand the product as well as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So I dove into it, I caught the error, and then I tried to troubleshoot and the database backend and see like why is this constraint violation occurring.
Yeah.
And so I found out that they use Hibernate
mm-hmm.
to generate the sequence. So in Oracle, they have this sequencer. It's like an incrementer, right? Like
mm-hmm.
an increment, a counter, an increment, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that when you insert a record into the database, it has unique number,
mm-hmm.
sequence number. But that doesn't always work because this Hibernate, these engineers, they use the Hibernate internal algorithm to compute another value.
Yeah.
To and then they use that value to insert into the database.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody reset the Hibernate sequence to back to one, because the sequence keep increasing, but somebody reset it back to one, then the application will grab one, and then it does its own internal computation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it generates another value that happens to be existing in the database already.
Wow.
And when they try to insert it, it's a unique key constraint violation.
Yeah.
And so I kept failing, and I investigated and found out, sent that to engineering, and they saw the flaw in the design.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you just, you know, copy and paste, then you won't learn as much. So you dive in, you know, take responsibility and try to learn that. So be curious. That is what I meant by that. Don't just think, oh, it's not my job. Then, had I not do that, that's okay. Just build it back, and then the engineer would do the troubleshooting. I'm pretty sure they will figure it out too eventually. But then I would not know that. I would not know why it caused that.
Mm-hmm.
Why. Yeah, what happened in the back end? And yeah, just keep learning.
Mm.
After you're done with school, you continue to learn in life too, in the workplace. Yeah, so that's why 4 years degree is not enough. 4 years degree and apply as much as you can, find out what interests you the most, and then go back to school and pursue more.
Mm.
Mm, yeah. Because once you start the family, it's all downhill, man. So you want to spend all the energy that you have and pursue your career as far as you can. And then once you're satisfied with that, then you can think about starting a family. Because once you start family, then kids will come along. Then you have no time, no energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, real talk.
Yeah. You asked for it.
All right, Anthony, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for this opportunity to interview you. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Yeah, I hope that helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.